Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Enzymes Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. I'm Ronak Saraf, the Manager Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We hope you all have gone through our financials, press release, and the presentation which has been posted in our Investor Relations section on our website. We have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director, Mr. Beni Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement contained in the presentation. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. So, without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time, and I extend the heartiest welcome to everyone joining us today on the conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2024. Coming on to the performance, the company's overall performance improved on a year-on-year basis. Now, as far as the quarterly performance, our top line stood at rupees 1,545 million, grew 5% on a year-on-year basis, and it is degrew by 2% on a sequential basis in quarter one. Our EBITDA stood at rupees 512 million, grew by 16% on a year-on-year basis, while it is declined by 8% on a sequential basis. We have witnessed growth of 19% in the bottom line on a year-on-year basis and 17% on a sequential basis. On the margin front, EBITDA margin stood at 33%, and PAT margin stood at 23% during the quarter one. Now, talking about the segment-wise performance, I will first go through human nutrition. The human nutrition segment more or less remained unchanged during the quarter, contributing 65% in the revenue. It grew by 2% on a year-on-year basis, while a slight decline of 1% is registered on a sequential basis. Nutrition business primarily supported the numbers in human nutrition, in human business. Overall, the demand in the pharma business remained subdued. On animal nutrition, our animal nutrition business contributed 11% to the revenue in quarter one. It grew by 9% on a year-on-year basis, while it is declined by 7% on a sequential basis. Bioprocessing. During the quarter, bioprocessing segment contributed 16% to the revenue. It grew by 12% on a year-on-year basis and degrew by 3% on a sequential basis. The food business grew by 6% on a year-on-year basis and degrew by 1% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The non-food business grew by 43% on a year-on-year basis and degrew by 9% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The specialized manufacturing segment contributed 7% and grew by 13% on a year-on-year basis, while it remained unchanged on a sequential basis. Our principal focus is on improving our product offering, keep introducing newer and commercially viable products, and consistently meet the ever-changing demands of our clients. We anticipate a robust growth trajectory in all our segments in the second half of this year. We'll bring more resilience in our business to enhance customer value proposition and deliver long-term sustainable growth going forward. With this, I will hand over the call to Rauka, and he will walk you through the financials and key subsidiary numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mukund. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. On the company's consolidated financial for the first quarter of fiscal year 2025, on year-on-year basis, Q1 25 versus Q1 24, our revenue increased by rupees 72 million, 5% of increase from 1,473 million to rupees 1,545 million. EBITDA is increased by 72 million, 15% from rupees 440 million to 512 million, which is about 33% EBITDA in Q1 of FY25. Profit before tax increased by rupees 73 million, 18% increase from 414 million, which is 28% of our revenue, to 487 million, 31% of our revenue for the quarter 1 of FY25. Profit after tax has increased by rupees 56 million, a 19% increase from rupees 294 million to rupees 350 million. That is about 23% of our revenue. On sequential basis, the revenue is decreased by about 2% from 1,578 million to 1,545 million. EBITDA decreased by rupees 42 million from 544 million to 512 million. Profit before tax increased by rupees 90 million from rupees 397 million to rupees 487 million. Profit after tax on sequential basis increased by rupees 51 million from rupees 299 million to rupees 350 million. On our financial performance of some of the subsidiaries, Desi Biotech for Q1 FY25 revenue stood at rupees 159 million, EBITDA of rupees 24 million and PAT of rupees 7 million as compared to rupees 134 million of revenue and 9 million of EBITDA and negative profit of 1 million in FY24 quarter 1. Evoxx revenue stood at rupees 47 million as compared to 54 million in Q1 24. EBITDA is negative 7 million and 7 million was in Q1 of FY24, so no change. Profit after tax, Evoxx continues to be in loss. It's about 15 million of loss during this quarter as compared to 13 million in last year Q1. The sales of SciTech stood at 111 million as compared to 97 million and EBITDA of 22 million as compared to 4 million. Profit after tax 10 million as compared to 1 million. The sale of our largest product, this is anti-inflammatory enzyme, stood at rupees 280 million for the first quarter of FY25 as compared to rupees 352 million in Q1 of FY24. So there is a degrowth of about 20%. And it constitutes about 18% of our total revenue. The top 10 customers contributed 23% in the total revenue in Q1 FY25 in comparison with 26% in Q1 of FY24. The B2C segment contributed about $950,000 as compared to $1.28 million during the same period in the previous year. The human health care segment, where we provide generally more granular numbers, so I am giving you those numbers now. Pharma India, 375 million as compared to 447 million. Probiotics, 39 million as compared to 5 million. Biocatalysis, 74 million as compared to 86 million. So India sale is about 488 million in Q1 as compared to 538 million in the corresponding first quarter of FY24. International sales, human nutrition is about 523 million. As compared to 456 million in Q1 of FY24. The major contribution has come from the USA, 494 million as compared to 422 million last year Q1. R&D spending during this first quarter, we have spent about 76 million on R&D as compared to 62 million in quarter one of FY24. And if we see the in terms of the percentage on standalone basis, it is about 9% as compared to 7%. And the consolidated basis, R&D spend is about 3% in Q1 as compared to 3% in Q1 of last year. This is after intercompany elimination, and if we do not remove this elimination, then on consolidated basis R&D spending is about 4% in both the quarters. That was from my side. Now we shall open the floor for question answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shubham Sehgal from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes,
please.
Yeah. So my first question is, so in the previous calls, we have been hearing that you are working on the sugar management and the weight loss products. But could you actually provide a concrete essence as to which stage of development have we reached, when we'll be able to launch these products, and what kind of revenues can we expect, any ballpark figure would work, and will we only be restricted to the US market or we would expand to other regions as well?
Shubhamji, as you see, some of the nutraceutical business in US is growing. in the first quarter, on the quarter-on-quarter basis as well as on this basis. So some of the sale is started, but it is still under the trial stages. I won't be able to give the exact revenue numbers for that. And as of now, we are targeting the US market for this kind of products.
When do we expect to launch? Because we have been hearing since 3-4 quarters, right?
We already launched, but it's on a pilot basis as of now.
Okay. Alright, so my next question is that over the next 2-3 years, what would be our key priorities and key gaps in the business which we want to cover up or come to terms with the competitors? So what are the key gaps you want to fill in the next upcoming 2-3 years?
So the priorities are going to be all the three segments, as we always mentions, our growth is going to be driven by the nutraceutical as well as on the food side of the business, biocatalyst of the business, and the animal feed. These are going to be our key focus areas. Those are going to drive the growth. We will be introducing new products as we move on into all of these areas, and we are working on all of those areas. So that's going to be our key strategy.
Okay, so got it, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Shubham.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harini Dedia from Tamora Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I had a couple of questions around growth. So if you can help us understand what is the Indian geography where we saw a flat quarter, because even on biocatalysis, we've seen a degrowth, which is supposed to be one of our growth engines. Just trying to understand, is it just a quarter phenomena or what is going on over here?
Generally, the first quarter is always a little bit subdued, but we shouldn't really look into it as a quarter-on-quarter basis.
No, but even year-on-year, it's been flat, the India business. So which piece in the India business has sort of not worked out for us?
India business is supposed to be under pressure this year, particularly on the human side. Most of the growth is supposed to come into the second half of this year.
Okay, and that will also come from the human side itself.
Yes, onto some of the biocatalyst areas.
Got it. And on Serratiopeptidase, this has been another quarter of degrowth. So what is exactly happening in this market? Why are we seeing degrowth over here?
Last quarter in FY24, probably pharma companies have picked up more stocks. So some impact in the Q1,
Got it. And in the Asia market, again, we were expecting growth driven by animal nutrition. That was the conversation in the Q4 call. So should we read something into this quarter's number, or that will resume again in Q2, Q3 onwards?
We shouldn't really look into it quarter on quarter basis as of now. I would say that the quarter on quarter numbers on animal feed or any area cannot give you the story.
Okay. Got it. So when I look at the overall growth of the business, we've seen a lot of growth come from US, which is typically our high margin business, especially in Q1. Do margins still have a room to expand from here on? Or with the US growth also, we're doing these margins, so we pretty much see similar 33-34% margins going forward?
I think 33-34% is what probably, one should look at it now, as of now.
Got it. So only when we see, rest of the geographies contributing a little more, will we see some expansion here? But
right. So international sales, as international sales goes up, probably you will see some better margins. And for that, I think we will have to wait a couple of more quarters.
Okay, so but for the whole year, we would still expect that, you know, 12% to 14% kind of growth on the whole year basis to come through.
Yeah, right.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So some of the questions related to growth have been already answered, but just wanted to understand, sir, while you talked about some sort of, you know, destocking maybe in this quarter in Sera, what sort of underlying growth we should assume going forward, considering you are already a domestic leader here?
So if you talk about Sera business, we don't expect a lot of growth to come. It should be a more or less the flat business or maybe like 5% or here and there the growth. The growth has to come from the other segments, what we are working on.
Right, right. So since Sera still is the largest product in terms of overall size, so if Sera is expected to grow at let's say 5-6%, I mean the large part of the heavy lifting has to be done by the international human nutrition. So on that side, in terms of quarterly run rate,
and
hello?
The biocatalyst areas in the Indian side.
Yes.
Biocatalyst on the Indian side. But honestly, the run rate on the biocatalyst hasn't picked up on a consistent basis. So what sort of growth do you expect from the biocatalyst? Are we in a position to launch some new molecules on the biocatalyst side in India?
Yes. So we are really working on those. And we expect like some of the thing has to come up in the second half of this year.
And the margins on the biocatalyst and maybe the international nutrition business are more or less similar, or international are much higher as compared to the biocatalyst?
International.
Even the gross margin, just an indication. Yeah.
So I think as far as comparing the margin is concerned, it all depends. Even in international market now, like, you know, couple of new products are being introduced. So initially the margin, like, you know, there is different, but yes, I mean, international business, we get a better margin.
Sure, sure. And on the cost side, while on the other expenses, if I see on a sequential basis, there is no increase as such, but any comments on freight cost, or it gets netted off against revenue? Just more clarity considering the Red Sea issue, ongoing Red Sea issue.
Freight cost is slightly elevated.
So possible to give the number? I mean, is there any major increase or not major increase that you're seeing?
It's not potential, I mean, you know, because freight, like, you know, what happens once you realize that the issue is now with the logistics, so you always insist that, you know, freight is something the customer has to bear.
Right. So the reason I'm asking is during COVID year also we have seen supply disruptions, so both in terms of RM pricing as well as freight. So some part of it we could not pass it on entirely. So from that angle I'm asking whether it is a complete pass-through with a lag, or there could be some burden on us in coming quarters.
Some burden is there. If I compare on year-on-year basis, probably the freight cost is up by about 5 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. And last question, just to refresh my memory, I mean that R&D facility which is going to come up, any commissioning or timeline we have shared earlier? I'm not aware of that.
No, we haven't shared, but as of now, like, we feel in the after the June of next year, it should be in a working condition.
June of next year, right? So no major capex. So like 25-30 crore capex this year and next year is what we should be doing, right?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Roughly same amount.
Okay. And anything on last question? Sorry. Anything on the potential M&A that we're looking at? Any development there?
No, I mean, as of now, I don't think, like, you know, development, but yes, you know, we keep on working on that.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Concrete as of now, which we can
okay. Talk sure. About. Definitely, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Srinjal Mittal from Ratnataraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. One is on the product side. So like you mentioned that our biggest product is the anti-inflammatory product. So that is degrowing and that's expected to be like that. So can you just help me understand that is it the nature of the business that once we introduce a molecule, after a certain period, there are many other players which come in because of which the sales become flattish and then we try to add more products to cover up for the growth, or like what is it? And the second part of the question is, so currently from our product basket point of view, how many new products do we have in line? What is the stage in terms of application approvals and everything? So there's some color on that. Thank you.
So here, like, we always have to work on the two areas. One is always like improve the productivity. That is a constant feature in our business. And the second one is the new product. There are a lot of different new products which are under the pipeline, and that is how you grow. Now, if we talk about anti-inflammatory product, that is a very old product in terms of product cycle. We started it somewhere around 1999, 2000, and it is still there. So it will not die as such, but yeah, like at some point of time, there is like always like when you are always like leading 90-95% of the share, when you command into that, there is going to be some problems.
Understood. And when you talk about the new products which are into pipeline, what would be the duration of that pipeline, like in terms of the application approval and then finally commercialization? And how many such products would be there in the pipeline?
There are about, if you ask me, there are about 50 products which are there in different areas into different molecules as of now into the pipeline. But generally the cycle is at least 1.5 years to 3 years, right? So some of them are like getting into the final stages now.
Understood. Thank you. And just one more question on the employee cost. So is this quarter supposed to be the annual increment cycle for us? Because the employee cost has sequentially increased a bit, and it seems like that's generally the case. Is that the reason?
So I think first quarter, the incremental cost has come. But yes, for a couple of subsidies, probably that will happen in the second quarter. That happens from 1st of September or so. But major, I can say 80% incremental cost has already been absorbed. So you can go, you know, considering this particular quarter as the basis for annualization of your, you know, overall payroll cost.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you for taking my questions and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nitish from Chris Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is actually a follow-up to a question asked by an earlier participant. We said that we are confident of doing 12 to 14% revenue growth in this year. So that means we'll have to do around a 185 to 190 crore of quarter in Q2, Q3. So I just wanted to ask, do we have any visibility on, you know, Q2 since we're halfway there already? Hello?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. So in the beginning of the year, we do the exercise of the sales and from which part it will come up, and we map the sale with all the customer wise and the growth area wise. And even though we don't have a very long term visibility with the customers, but we can always see for the how it is going to span out in a year. Based on that, as of now, we feel that we should be able to do it. Because most of the sales has to come into the second half of this year.
Okay, and you know, on the margin outlook, considering we're already at 33% in first quarter, which is typically our a low margin quarter for us, so should we expect Q2, Q3 to be having a better margin?
Okay.
So I mean, you know, as the numbers will improve going forward, there will be certainly some kind of, you know, incremental margin. But as of now, I think 33-34% is what we are saying is something, you know, one should look at it.
But we're it's right to assume that we could be at closer to the 34% of this band.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kiran from Table Trick Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my question. A couple of questions from my side. Sir, apart from the anti-inflammatory enzyme product that we have, which is about 100 crore sales year on year, do we have like a star to the next 2-3 products which have a potential to go to 100 crore revenue, or is it more like a segment like a biocatalysis or animal bioprocessing or something, a segment as such goes to 100 crore? So how do you look at it? Are there any, the next Sera kind of products, one or three products which can go to 100 crore by themselves, or is it a segment?
So our business has to be seen with the different way. One of them is like API, where like Sera is there, which is more than 100 crore as a product as of now. But there are a lot of like formulations which we are launching, and we are focusing on them, and probably those should be more than 100 crore going forward.
Got it. And most of the formulations are primarily in the US, if I'm not wrong.
That is true. We are working a lot of on those formulations and improving those formulations going forward.
Got it. Second question, sir, our B2C segment, the Wilfa brand, I just want a clarification and then a follow-up question, which is, Wilfa brand is under SciTech, which is our 50% subsidiary, and then how is it growing, and can it become a potential 100-150 crore in the next 1 to 3 years, as you see it right now? Of course, it can be changes, but as you see it right now.
So, Wilfa brand is under the Advanced Enzyme right now, not under the SciTech. But as of now, I don't want to comment how it is going to be pan out into 2 to 3 years down the line. But we feel that this year we should be having about 2 to 3 crore sales from coming from the welfare brand.
2 to 3 crores. Got it. Okay. So then the commentary from some of the US and European, players in the segment that we are in, they've had a lot of commentary that US and Europe consumer slowdown is significant, and you know, even our nutraceutical segment or the human nutrition segment, they're talking about other segments as well where we are not there. They're seeing a severe slowdown in terms of consumption and buying patterns in the US and European markets. So from where you are sitting as a vantage point, have you seen the slowdown, or are you seeing the slowdown in terms of buying and purchasing patterns in the US and European markets?
European is a little bit slow down as of now. That is what we can see. In terms of like US, probably like we are growing into these areas because our sale was very low on the consumption side.
Sorry, sir. I didn't understand the US market comment.
So US market, we have seen, you know, a growth. If I look at our number for the Q1 as compared to Q4 as well as Q1 of the last year, and based on like, you know, whatever understanding we have from our US, we see that, you know, this year we are going to have a better growth from the US business. So this is the scenario as of now. Now, when you are talking about the spending, probably what is happening is it is on different part of it, you know, on the consumer side of it. Nutraceutical segment, again, you know, there are different issues. So, I mean, you know, our business where we are catering to primarily on, you know, B2B first and then B2C is very small business. So here still we see that, you know, there is an opportunity and growth is there in this market. So unless really we see the impact from those who are on the field and selling, you know, the products which are formulated or finished goods from our formulated formulations. So that impact so far we have not seen.
Perfect, sir. Perfect, perfect. Understood. My last question, sir. Mr. Vasant Rathi, in the AGM mentioned that, you know, somebody asked a question in the AGM and they said, you know, we probably will reach 1,000 crores and sales it very soon and all that stuff. So is there any definite pathway that you can tell us that, you know what, human nutrition will be 300 crore or bioprocessing will be 300 crore, whenever that we reach 1,000 crore sales, right? I mean, maybe 3 years, maybe 5 years.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, that has been really mapped and we have done a lot of work on that area. And basis that the chairman has commented that, you know, in down the line 4 to 5 years, we target to achieve 1,000 crore of our revenue.
Got it, sir. And which segment do you think will contribute the most to that growth from 600 to 1,000? Because there's a delta 400 in our area, it's quite a large number. That's the reason I'm asking.
You need to work onto the 3-4 different horses, right? When you talk about 1,000 crore, you need to work on the 1,100, 1,200 crore and then you reach the 1,000 crore because one or two will falter. As of now, like, but it's more like on a R&D side and R&D driven. As I was telling, like, most of the enzymes, when you do it, the research is for 1.5 years to 3 years. So it takes some time. So it's very difficult in our areas, like, to exactly predict the numbers. It will come from this area or this area. Some may not work out. So it's difficult for me to say that if 300 will come from this segment or, for example, from this product.
Got it. Got it. Understood. My last question is a clarifying question, bookkeeping. Last year, we had a one-off of 18 crore expense due to a legal settlement with one of our U.S. competitors. Is there any other legal expense or legal settlement that we are expecting in whatever, this year, next year, next 2-3 years? Is there any particular conflict that we have as of today?
No.
As of today, there is no conflict. But you never know.
As of now, there is nothing.
As of now, there is nothing. Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question to the management, you may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Pawan Kotari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I would like to... Hi, this is Pawan Kotari. I would like to ask you we are having any export thrust to Europe also, and what capacities are still underutilized as of now? Like, how much operating capacity are we currently working at?
So current capacity utilization is around, 60 to 65%. And if you really look at the numbers, so our export sale is now generally in the range of, 50% is comes from the international market, 50% comes from the domestic market. It keeps on changing. Sometimes it is 48 to 52, or sometimes it is 50%. That's how it is on quarter basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and can I have one more question?
Yeah, please.
With the incremental sales, suppose our capacity has been utilized from 50 to 75%, how much of the cost benefit are we getting with the more capacity utilization?
Yes, Mahanji, that will, as you speak and you might have done a proper study, if you really look at when our sale, the revenue increased by 1%, mm-hmm. generally I have seen that EBITDA increase is 2 to 3 times of, increase in the top line, and that adds substantially to our PAT also.
Okay.
So definitely, expenses being fixed,
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
more revenue you generate, the profitability, the profitability definitely will change, it will improve substantially. In terms of numbers, when you look at 1% increase in revenue, 3% in EBITDA, 3% mm-hmm. in PAT, so that is how generally, we have observed in our case.
And a very small question, sir. Are we selling online also, like on Amazon and other online big portals, or we're just selling it like, you know, on the shelf?
Yes, so that is a Welfa brand basically.
Okay.
So we are expecting some kind of, you know, now a good numbers in that sense. The last, I think, 1 year, 2 years back, we have launched this. Now this is second year in succession. So okay, we are getting good numbers in that sense.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I congratulate you once again on the good set of numbers.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shubham Snegal from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. So we've always been an R&D focused company, and like as you mentioned, that R&D is quite important for us. So this 3 to 4% which we are maintaining as an R&D expense, how exactly do we allocate our resources? And what are our key focus areas and priorities? So, like, if you could help me understand, like, how exactly are we, you know, spending our R&D budget and, like, maintaining a 3-4%, and which segments do we give priority, or which are the key focus areas we are giving priority?
So, it is always in on the three and four segments where, like, you know, we have our strength, and where we see that, you know, the potential is really excellent going forward. And so these are areas where we spend our money on R&D. So we continue to work.
So I mean, those segments, where exactly do we spend that, like, on, you know, like, discovering new products, like, where do we actually?
So, I mean, if you really see enzyme, as enzymes are, like, you know, a very unique. So when you are developing the enzymes, it is not for a particular application, okay? So those are kind of, you know, the development takes place, and thereafter, once you reach to a particular threshold, then you look at whether I can also develop application in, say, human nutrition, in animal nutrition, can I use for, you know, nutraceutical segment? So that happens subsequently. So you need to really spend on core research, where you don't have that kind of understanding that, yeah, I'm going to work only on this animal nutrition area. You work on your core strength, basically.
Only the enzymes which are in the area of biocatalysts are more specific.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And so last question being that what exactly is our edge or advantage in the human nutrition space? As in the last 4 years, we have narrowed down our focus on human nutrition.
So this is the, like, you know, business which we have started long back. I think if you really look at the, you might have read the biography of our chairman also. He's in US. So we started long back this particular, journey where human nutrition was kind of, you know, initially we began. And over a period of time, we developed so many enzymes around that. And that is because of his expertise in that particular, space. So we are very strong on human nutrition side. And over a period of time, of course, you know, human nutrition, when you are talking about human health, so animal health is another area which is kind of, you know, it coexists in that sense. So that is another area. And then now when you look at the food, the bioprocessing, another segment, because again now everything is going around, you know, a novel application of the enzymes in the food areas. So this is, you know, completely in a subject which is very close to us, and we have spent a lot of, I can say last 25 years, a lot of R&D has been carried out on human nutrition, food areas, and animal nutrition. So we know we are very strong in that, and we have kind of, you know, in past some of, like, you know, clients which have been added over a period of time. So that speaks about that, yes, it is a sustained, you know, growth and the client portfolio with us. I hope I clarified you.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Gathani from SG Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. My question is mainly on the R&D front. So we, you know, like historically we mentioned we want to have R&D as a, you know, 7% of the sales as such. But, you know, like on a consolidated level, we typically, you know, have been doing around 4%. So is that something that we should be expecting to go up in the future, or, you know, should we just look at this number, you know, as is currently?
So, Mr. Gathani, the capex is not much if you really look at in this area, because now whatever capex we are doing is on our research and development center at Nashik. It is in CIP, currently not added to the expenses side of it, capital expenditure as such. So it is kind of, you know, work in process which is going on. So once we add that amount, probably, you know, the spending is about 5 to 6% in any case. But yes, I mean, when you really prepare a sort of model, you can look at about 6% as, you know, our total R&D spend on console basis.
Got it. Okay. So what would be the expenditure already incurred on the center up to now?
I think we have roughly spent about 15 crores.
45. Okay, got it. And
35 crore is something, sorry, I have not added the land. Land is about 35 crores we have spent. And another 15 crores is kind of, you know, another expenses on civil construction, which is undergoing now, under progress.
Okay, so that's 50 crores. So I thought that was the total spend that we had envisaged earlier for the center. Like,
no. So it's the land was acquired 3 years ago, I think.
It's somewhere around COVID period 2017-18.
Okay, got it. Okay. So my next question was around EVOX. So we mentioned that as, you know, like as an R&D arm of the company as such. Do we consider, you know, that portion into R&D, or does that EVOX sale come into like actual consider mentioned the expenditure numbers or not yet? And second question on that is, like, we initially, you know, EVOX had some partnerships with certain companies for some product development. Is there any update on that, or, you know, that pretty much was on a low key for a while? Just trying to understand if there was any movement on that side.
So EVOX, since it's a 100% owned company, the numbers get eliminated on the consolidation basis. So they don't come up in terms of R&D numbers. In terms of partnerships, there are two types of model. One model is like some of the EVOX products sell. Some of them is like our R&D, and some of them is like CRO kind of like customer related R&D to sustain the expenses side of it. So there are certain customers which we are talking, and that is what you are referring to. As of now, there is a one big order is under the negotiation, but it's yet to be finalized. So can't comment on that.
Okay, got it. So there's one order under sale. So when do we expect that to close by, if there is it is successful?
Probably in next 15 days, but we will come to know once it's done.
Okay, and could you quantify the size of, if that's possible, or not yet?
It will be about not very big, but it will be about 1.4 to 1.5 million euros.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you. That's helpful. That will be executed over a period of 1 year or so, or
1 year or so.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's very helpful. That's all from my end. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran B. from Table Trick Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I just had to clarify. I know we've always committed on 15% growth, CAGR, over a number of years. But just for this year, I missed the last two con calls. What is the outlook or visibility that you've given?
So this year we should be somewhere around two digit, somewhere between 12% to 15%, something of that nature, probably. This year is going to be a little tougher for us, but this is what, like, we feel we should be able to get.
Got it. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings con call. We will keep you posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and a transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.